We've got people coming from all over for the second Newcastle Canny Comic Con. One person who hasn't made such a large trip is South Shields-based comic book writer and co-founder of workshop group Art Heroes, Daniel Clifford. Dan, what's the importance for you of having a comic convention in Newcastle?
It's really important for me to be able to come along just on the metro to a comic convention because, one, it's a lot cheaper, so you end up to the business side of things can excel to some degree, but also it's just about being able to hang around with your friends and other local creators that maybe you haven't met before and be able to talk about your work, be able to meet like the public who might be able to relate to your work, because when you've come from the same background, then it means that there'll be things in your comics that they can see in their world and in their life. Particularly with one of the comics that I've worked on, Sugar Glider, it's a set in Newcastle, and it's a lot of the locations are things like Greg's and the Granger Market, the Gate. So it's really interesting to be able to put that comic in front of people and see their expressions as they're looking through and go, ah, I've been there. So I think that's a really important thing, and it's just, like I say, it's just nice to be able to get up at a normal time and get on the metro rather than having to travel all around the country.
How important, I mean, people imagine sort of the comic book writer or letterer as quite a solitary pursuit sometimes, sitting there writing and basically lettering and stenciling, colouring, just a very, very long, arduous process. How much of a comic book writer or artist's life is at conventions? How important is something like that in getting the word out there?
I think you're right. A lot of writing is, and the other art forms involved in comics, is sitting there by yourself, and kind of the only thing that you've got is Twitter, which is a bit like a support group for artists and self-employed people. And you sit there and you're working on it, and you might be quite happy with what you're doing, or you might be self-conscious about the work that you're putting out. So it's really important to have an event that you can kind of relax. It's like a tension release, basically. So you get a chance to sit down and have a cup of tea with your mates and with your peers, and get out the house for once. it's almost like a holiday where you're still working almost, because you're not sitting there at the grind writing, but you're still kind of selling your stuff and talking about the work that you're doing, but with a lot less pressure on you. At the same time, it's really, from a writer's point of view, it's really interesting to have to work out your sales pitch for the public. So you have to be able to understand your story well enough to get that across within a couple of seconds that person's looking at your work, and then they want to move on. So that's really good for being a writer, because if you don't know your story that well to tell someone about it in a couple of seconds, then you don't know the story well enough to write it. So I think that's a really important thing about having a comic convention, full stop, but having one locally. It's just a chance to meet that audience who, generally speaking, might not walk into a comic shop, especially with this comic convention. It's in Newcastle Library, which there's a lot of footfall going through, and you meet families and you meet older people. Some people might have never seen a comic before, might never have wanted to see a comic before, and you start to engage with that person, and it's just interesting to see the expressions on people's faces as they look through.
I mean, you studied drama and screenwriting at Northumbria. How did you find yourself writing more or less exclusively for comics at that point?
My degree was all about writing radio plays for the stage, TV programmes and films. And what I found as I was going through the course, it was interesting to write those things, and I learned a lot about being a writer and structure, dialogue, but I also learned that I wasn't necessarily interested in all of those mediums. I mean, I like TV, probably the most out of those things. TV as a form of storytelling. But I'm not that interested in film or radio or theatre, although that interest in theatre has kind of come back a little bit. But I was leaving class every Thursday night and walking along to a comic shop and buying a huge stack of comics, and I started thinking, well, I've read comics all my life and I've wanted to write all my life. It makes sense to try and write comics. So I started going to a group that was in Travelerman called Paper Jam Comics Collective, and meeting people and talking to people who are artists and who are writers, and it gave us a chance to try out some short comic strips. And I tried out a short comic strip with an artist called Gary Bainbridge, and although I don't think that the comic's very good in the end, my part, not his part, it was a really good experience. It was really good to see something get published, something printed, and you learn a lot from seeing your work printed. You learn more than working. And we developed a relationship where it was quite difficult at first. We didn't really know each other. And then we developed like a really good working method. And we have, even though we're totally different people, we have things that kind of bring us together. And that ended up being the beginning of Sugar Glider, which is the first, like, I'd say proper comic, but the first like successful comic that I was part of. So we created that together. Gary's the artist and I'm the writer, but there was a lot of discussion and there's a lot of kind of back and forth in terms of we don't necessarily know who came up with which part, because it's that kind of symbiotic, that relationship, that collaboration.
You mentioned you started writing Sugar Glider, which was a comic that was based in Newcastle, which is probably quite unusual for comic book fans to have a comic that's based in an area. Yeah. It's about a young superheroine, basically, who turns to crime fighting in Newcastle. What did you learn about making comics from that experience?
The biggest thing is that it takes a lot longer to make a comic than you would think. At the same time, it's quite easy to make a comic in the sense that if you've got someone who can draw and you've got access to a photocopier or a printing place, then you can go from having nothing to having something quite easily. But there's still a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of time. The first issue of Sugar Glider, Gary did very quickly. I think he drew it in a matter of days, like 8 days he drew the pencils in. So there's a process where the artist draws in pencil and then either another person comes in and does the inks to add depth and shade and stuff like that, or the pencil artist does that as well. And so Gary did the pencils within about 8 days and then took a longer time to do the ink and the kind of photoshoppery of making sure everything, getting erasing lines that weren't meant to be there and kind of adding a little bit that was meant to be there. So it takes a long time. But yeah, Sugar Glider is about a girl based in Newcastle who kind of has tried every little job or career pathway and quit everything that she wants to, that she's tried to do, and decides that the hell with it, I'm going to try to be a superhero instead. All these normal things aren't working, so I'll try a strange thing instead. So it's been quite successful, but one of the other things that I've learned is that small press comic book readers don't necessarily like superheroes, and superhero comic book readers don't necessarily like small press comics. And you think to yourself, well, I'll have both markets by doing a small press superhero comic, but instead what you're doing is you're cutting both markets in half, so you end up having a very small readership, because it puts both kind of audiences off. So I've learned that superheroes isn't kind of as well respected as people like myself who'd always read superhero comics. They're not as liked as you kind of would think.
I mean, what you've done recently, you've co-founded a group called Art Heroes, which really brings comics out to young people in the community, in libraries, in schools. And what's the thinking behind that?
When I was younger, I found it very difficult to read, basically. I was in special needs reading classes. Part of it was that I was a very slow reader, and part of it was the teaching methods that were used didn't really work with me. So I was in special needs reading classes, and it was in those classes that I kind of caught up with the others, but there still wasn't books that I was interested in reading. It was just comics that I read, and that's where I developed linguistic skills and a vocabulary. But it wasn't... Like, the world changed a lot in those years. I'm only 26, but the world's changed a lot since then in terms of... I used to get told off when I'd write in my reading diary Action Man comic or Sonic the comic, and I get told, oh, well, that isn't a book. But now when I go into schools, I see that they've got comics, they've got magazines, they've got car manuals, whatever kids want to read, they give it to them. So that's the kind of... That was the inspiration behind it. I saw that comics helped me develop reading skills and other skills, and... If it wasn't for comics, I would never have a degree. So I wanted to be able to go out and do the same thing for other young people, because comics don't have the same distribution nowadays. So I could buy Sonic the comic or Action Man comic in like Sainsbury's, like magazine racks or in the newsagents. But nowadays, there isn't as many comics that are just readily available. You have to want to own a comic and go into a comic shop. So it was just about, like you say, going out into the community and going, here are comics. This is something that you might want to read. And so that was kind of the inspiration behind it.
And what sort of things have you done so far, and how have they been received?
Part of Art Heroes is about not just getting kids to make their own comics, but showing them that we've made comics. So we create our own comic, Halcyon and Tenderfoot, which is an all-ages superhero comic that's kind of like, you've seen The Incredibles, you've seen the Spider-Man films, now here's a comic that's suitable for you. So we've done that comic, and that sells quite well at workshops, but also we have them for young people to read in the workshops as well, so they don't have to buy them to have a look. They can have a look and they learn how to make them a bit better from seeing our examples. In terms of projects, at the moment we're working on a big project at Baltic, around the Jim Shaw exhibition that they've got on. So each school in Gateshead is having a day at the Baltic where we walk around the exhibition, talk about it, do some short exercises. And then we have a day in the school as well where the young people create their own artwork, create their own comic strips based on Jim Shaw's character Billy and what would happen if Billy went to Baltic. So that's a big project that we're working on at the moment. But we've done other kind of one-off sessions in schools, and like career days where we've been able to show what we've done, kind of we've been self-employed, so that young people have a kind of wider experience of what careers they could go into if they want to do. So there's been like odd one-off things and some things with a definite kind of agenda going into it. But the main thing at the moment is this Baltic project, and that's going to take us up to February.
So, I mean, you're sitting in a position where you're getting some money in for a business that revolves around comics, and you've published a comic which presumably isn't making quite as much money in, you know. But is there any advice that you would give to people who were looking to explore comic books as either a passion or a, you know, something that they would like to do?
I think it's very rare that you have anybody making small press comics and makes money out of it. There's a few people that do, but most people don't. And a lot of people who are making money off small press comics are making a loss on their comics, but making the profit on commissions, sketches, and things like that. We make the profit on the workshops, and the workshops pay for the comic books to be printed and for us to go to conventions. So we end up making a little bit of money in the end. But my main piece of advice is to expect to make no money and to expect to make a loss, and to get yourself in a frame of mind where you're all right with that. I wasn't all right with that when I first started making comics, and I ended up being a bit disappointed. But if I had just gone into it thinking, well, I'm not going to make any money, then I wouldn't have been disappointed. The expectations would have been managed, because I'm not in comics to make money. I just thought that it would be a nice side effect. But my main piece of advice is don't try to make money. In fact, you'll probably lose less money by giving away your comics than you would by trying to sell them. I think I've lost a lot of money by paying for large print runs, for going flying to Derry and Bristol and things like that, and going on train journeys to Glasgow and then selling like 30 comics. Lost a lot of money that way, whereas if I just kind of went around Newcastle handing out like photocopied versions of the comics, could have lost a lot less money and reached a much bigger audience. And you don't know who's going to see the work if you give it to everybody. Could be like a TV producer, or you don't know. So my advice is just make sure your audience is as big as possible, and to cut down on all your costs as much as possible.
Thank you very much.